From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Mark Report. It's the fifth day of December 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzolo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostard. He's the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. In agricultural news, CFTC has approved changes to the CBOT wheat contract to improve convergence. A new GAO report says USDA could be better at overseeing farm program payments. And the chief economist at the agency says he won't be headed to a WTO meeting later this month. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories shortly, and then I'll tell you a bit more about my conversation with the chief produce buyer for Walmart USA. The company is looking to enter the locally grown market in a great big way, and it may need the U of I's help. The Closing Mark Report, of course, is a production of WILO. That's public radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Taking a look at the numbers in Chicago on a Friday afternoon. This is the way the settlement prices came across. Wheat futures at 457 and three quarters on a down day, a dime lower. March at 475 and a half, 10 and a half lower. And the May at 488 and a half, down 11. December corn futures 24 and three quarters lower. The March at 293 and a half. The March at 309 and a quarter, down 24 and three quarters. May at 319 and a quarter, 25 and three quarters lower. And July corn today, 328 and three quarters, down 26 and a half cents. January soybeans, $7.83 and a half, 27 and a half lower. The March at 787 and a quarter, down 28 and a quarter. May futures 794 and three quarters, down 29 cents. And July contract in the bean pit settled 805, down 28 cents. November futures there at 802 and a half, down 32 and a half. We'll go back and catch that December 09 corn contract. It didn't read at 351 and a quarter. Down 28 cents. December bean meal at 240.50, down 6.80. December bean oil futures settled at 28.25, down 97 on the afternoon. December live cattle from the CME Group's livestock side, 81.55, down $1.52.5. The Feb at 81.45, 162.5 lower. January feeders at 86.65, down $1.45. The March at 85.27.5, down 1.62.5. And December lean hog futures today, the settlement price at 47.45, up 35 cents for the lean hogs. The February contract, 64.20, 55 cents higher on this Friday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Natural gas is trading the nearby contract at $5.74.09. That's down 26 and 8 tenths for the day. Ethanol for the nearby January contract at $1.39 and 8 tenths, just about 9 and a tenth lower. And crude oil futures are down $2.77 a barrel at $40.90 for the January. February at $43.10, down $2.11. Diesel fuel, that's heating oil, $1.44 and a tenth, 6 and 9 tenths lower for the nearby January. Propane on the January at 58 and a half cents, down 3.5 cents on the afternoon. Gold futures now, December contract, $750.50 an ounce, $13.30 lower. The Dow at 85.36 is up about 160 points, and the U.S. dollar is currently trading at 87.15. That's up 0.54. The CRB index for the day at 210.52 is down 7.47 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like from our own chief meteorologist, Ed Kieser. He says tonight in the north should be cloudy, some light snow arriving overnight. In central Illinois, cloudy, light snow arriving after midnight. In central Indiana, says Ed, increasing cloudiness in the south, partly cloudy. Lows ranging between 16 and 24. Tomorrow, Ed says, in northern and central parts of Illinois should be cloudy, some snow during the morning. In northern and central Indiana, cloudy with snow as well. In the south, mostly cloudy, a few scattered flurries during the morning. Highs will range from 25 in the far northwestern parts of Illinois tomorrow to 43 in the far south. The extended forecast says a significant weather system will likely impact the area late Monday into Tuesday of next week. Details of the track and intensity of the storm are not yet known, so this should be something to be monitored, and Ed Kieser will take care of that right here on the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
It's a Friday afternoon, time to take the closing mark report. Look at the agricultural futures markets. Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities, Incorporated, out of Lafayette, Indiana, joins us this afternoon. Hi, Mike.
Hi there, Todd.
Well, let's go through a quick look at what the numbers finished like. Wheat futures were down a dime, corn down 24 cents, soybeans something around 28 to 29 lower for the day. Cattle futures were off $1.50 in both the live and the feeder. But the lean hog futures were up 35 and 55 cents in the December and February, respectively. How did you see the trade?
Well, pretty doggone weak on the surface, no question about it, Todd. And the jobs report today and the expectations for a bad jobs report all week kept pressure on the markets. A few other micro fundamentals for the corn especially kept pressure on the markets as well. But I think there's a little bit more beneath the surface that's being played out right now in the afternoon trade, in the afternoon markets here late in the day, probably mean a lot in the next 45 minutes, and namely how the Dow Jones ends up finishing and the S&P ends up finishing. Those have both recovered and are making new highs. What's nice about that especially is it's led by the banking industry and the financial market industry. In that S&P bank index we've been keeping track of, looks pretty optimistic right now as far as going into a weekly close. And although the crude oil is still down over $2.40 right now in January futures, we are seeing new lows in the bonds and also new late lows in the spot dollar. And I think that's where those are our major leading indicators. The bonds and the dollar should both top at the exact same time, is what the charts are depicting to us. Those should top at about the exact same time that we find a bottom in the equities markets and hopefully also a bottom in the crude oil markets. Then that translates back into the grains here. So if we can close strong here in the outside markets on the close here today, I suspect that we might be able to see a short covering week next week, maybe on light volume, but nonetheless, we may see some short covering next week.
Fundamentally, are there good reasons for the things you're describing to happen?
You know, I think there are. We wrote in our newsletter last night, I had 11 things about demand specifically. Gasoline demand was up 1.7% last week here in the U.S. You know, China purchased their first cargo of wheat because their domestic prices are higher than what they can import it from us at, so that suggests the price is right. Morocco's in for wheat. Mexico, you know, bought 575,000 tons of corn, of the United States corn, the past 3 days. There's several good things. The Black Friday sales were better than estimated. Cyber Monday internet sales were up 15% versus last year. There are demand issues going on right now that the trade has decided to continue to lock away and put in the closet, like we've talked about before on this show. And we haven't even talked about the supply issues and the potential losses in production for the South American bean crop. The quarter of Brazil and about a quarter, 10 to 15%. Of Argentina is supposedly in pretty dire need of moisture right now. So there are supply issues out there along with demand issues that I would still buy into the idea that we have demand destruction psychology in the grain markets, but other than some ethanol loss because of refinery utilization, other than feed loss because of poultry and egg sets being reduced, and also some other losses, namely feed wheat has become an excellent substitute for corn in the export market. Those types of demand loss we've seen, but I think the majority of the losses are psychological at this point. But clearly today's jobs report would say you can't keep racking up unemployment figures like this, or you will start hitting unemployment to the point where it hits demand and GDP, and then it starts to hit your commodity demand.
Yeah, well, that last one was the bad nail in the coffin here that you tried to pound down just a bit. But everything else you talked about was fundamentally to the upside. Given that on the week, wheat lost 85 cents, corn was down 56 to 62, soybeans were down about a buck. This was the weekly trade from Friday to Friday. Do you see a place where end users might want to start booking some of these products?
You know, we do, and we think they already are starting to, like we'd referenced. I think one of the major problems that maybe the market's not really talking about right now is the freight issue, and we all know how cheap the freight is, but in the overseas and the seagoing freight, why is it that cheap? And a big reason from our contacts that purchase a lot of freight into the Mediterranean and into Africa is they're telling us the actual sellers or the shippers, the sellers of that freight, don't want to sell at these low prices. They're worried about the credit standing of the potential buyers of the freight, and they can't lock or hedge their sales of freight on the over-the-counter market like they've been used to doing. And so, again, if you peel back the onion and look below the surface, I think there's reasons other than just black and white supply and demand fundamentals that are crimping our demand base right now. And I think the EU put out an interesting statistic this week. They're already over where they were in wheat exports midway through the year. If they keep this pace up, they're looking at a record year, and that's coming off of a very big year last year. So pretty demand-friendly information, but it's just not getting transmitted into the price because the market continues an overall trajectory that demand's only going to get worse and worse and worse because the recession's going to get worse and worse and worse.
Come back to the freight rates just a second for me, because I'm not sure that I understood everything you told me. I think you told me that it's creditworthiness is the problem with the freight rate, and it's the creditworthiness of the freight hauler's customer that he's worried about. So it's still that cash is king kind of thing.
Right.
And so freight rates are really low, but nobody's taking advantage of them because they don't have the cash anyway.
No, that's exactly right. To give you an example, our contact had told us this week that there are literally rows of ships off of Greece right now that are absolutely empty and tied together, and it's due to the shipper, the one that would sell the freight to the potential wheat buyer or the potential corn buyer. They literally don't want to take the purchase because of the credit, because they can't lock in an over-the-counter derivative like they're used to doing in terms of hedging that freight off. And they're also worried about the creditworthiness of that buyer of freight. And so cash is indeed king. They'd rather string up empty boats than go ahead and try and take the freight and take the risk because of those three factors. And I think that goes back to the credit and the financial markets, and it makes sense why the majority of what we saw in corn and bean and wheat prices this week really did just translate directly into the crude oil market. And I talked to the floor, I think it was Wednesday afternoon, going into the close in beans. They looked really heavy. They couldn't get any kind of rally going, and I called up and said, what's happening up there? And they said, all we're looking at is crude, and we see crude try and bottom, and then new sellers come in. And there's also that fear that there's still some hedge fund liquidation that's going to take place between now and Christmas.
Can I stay with freight for just one other second for you? So we know, for instance, that ADM has a lot of its own Panamax vessels and has a lot of its own freight. Who's the problem in this? If some of these companies, some of the big companies, I don't know whether Cargill and Bunge might have those kinds of facilities. I don't think maybe they do. But who's the problem? Because is it the freight? Is it the buyer of the freight? And is that paid for by generally the company that's making the sale or the purchaser?
No, it is the buyer. I was on a teleconference with the National Association of Business Economists yesterday, and they had a meeting on manufacturing via phone and internet in Washington, D.C., and they specifically talked about freight and Panamax and ocean-going freight. It is the letters of credit that the buyers cannot secure as easily as they used to be able to. So if ADM, for example, in your sample, if ADM owns both the wheat and they own the freight as well, then there should not be a counterparty risk because they're all one company. But in many cases, you've got a company that does not have ships but needs to get wheat from point A to point B, and they've got to go to a third party. That third party counterparty risk is what seems to be holding up the letters of credit.
All right. Thanks much.
Thanks, Todd. Have a great day.
You too, Mike. Mike Zuzlow is with Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Friday afternoon.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In agricultural news, after months of criticism over a broken convergence system, the Commodity Futures Trading Commission has approved changes to the Chicago Board of Trade wheat contract to improve its hedging performance, including raising its wheat storage fees, adding new cash delivery points, and tolerating smaller amounts of vomitoxin for par delivery. Traders said the moves made sense, but that more may be needed. A new Government Accountability Office report says USDA could do a better job of overseeing farm payment programs and making certain only those eligible for payments actually receive them. Specifically, GAO found that between the years 2003 and 2006, USDA paid out $49 million to farmers whose high incomes should have made them ineligible for subsidy payments. USDA Chief Economist Joe Glauber says he is declining the invitation of WTO Chief Pascal Lamy for a Doha summit later this month unless there is certainty that it will produce an agreement on how the round should proceed. In Glauber's words, it would be pointless to bring back an agreement that would be rejected by agriculture and Congress. The world's largest fertilizer company says that the global potash supply is expected to remain short to balanced over the next few years, which could give Potash Corporation an opportunity to expand. Potash Corporation Chief Executive Bill Doyle told an industry conference in New York, quote, "Even if all announced projects are completed, global potash supplies from other producers will not grow as quickly as consumption forecasts." The European Commission has approved a genetically modified soybean from Monsanto for import into the European Union. The soybean, Roundup Ready 2, was approved more quickly than any other GMO in the EU. The approval lasts for 10 years. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL Public Radio for the Farming World. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Mark Report and Commodity Week. That second program is our weekend look at what happened in the world of agriculture. We'll post it to our website at willag.org by about 5:30 to 6 o'clock this evening, Central Time, right here in the Midwest. Hope you can visit that site at willag.org. Sign up for the newsletter there. It's free over on the right-hand side of the page. Hit subscribe and make sure you hit the Commodity Week tab and listen to this week's program. Now up next, you know, the world's largest food retailer is looking for some help, and it thinks a University of Illinois program designed for farmers might just be the ticket. It's an annual fall tradition for the developers of Market Maker to meet, discuss, and court new potential partners. The program belongs to the University of Illinois, but is used in states all across America. In simple terms, it's a database that can connect specialty farmers with buyers or potential groups of buyers. Here's an example. An organic goat producer in Illinois wants to find a high-income Muslim population, or the other way around. Market Maker can do that. You can find out how yourself. Just search Google for Market Maker. That's what Walmart's Ron McCormick has been doing. That's right, I said Walmart. The world's largest grocery company wants on the locally grown bandwagon in a big way, but has a problem. It does not have an easy way to find local farmers. Market Maker offers Walmart opportunity, says McCormick.
We're so excited about Market Maker because we think it bridges lots of the gaps we have in being able to do this well. You know, for us to be able to keep track of with a fairly relatively small buying team for the size of the volume that we buy and for the sheer number of growers that are out there, many of whom don't have a history of doing business with big retailers, so it would not even be their nature to try to do business with Walmart. But we think they have great potential. So Market Maker's ability to help us connect to people that we wouldn't have a way of connecting to in the past, and that miraculous database that I think is being built will help us keep track of that and kind of manage all those relationships and the complexity that's out there.
Two notes here. The database McCormick says is being built translates this way. He's hopeful local farmers enter their own data into the Market Maker database so Walmart can find them, and that those same farmers might mine Market Maker for demographic information that could cause them to reconsider the products they produce.
Because one of our challenges is to cause growers to not necessarily grow what they're comfortable with or what they may have grown in the past, but to help them learn to grow what the customers want. Because you can only sell so much okra, but it may be something that a small farmer loves to grow. But if we could get them to grow okra and lima beans or okra or some acres of watermelons, because that's the take the new personal size watermelons that are growing out there now. There's a wonderful variety of several wonderful varieties of a small watermelon that's perfect for today's family size, fits in your refrigerator, it's got great flavor, it's a great product, and retailers today are demanding more than the supply that's out there. So, and lots of small growers could grow that product.
If only those producers were to look at the demographic information in the Market Maker database, Ron McCormick thinks farmers might see those opportunities. All of Walmart's U.S. produce buyers report to McCormick. Walmart wants to develop locally grown produce marketing channels. Market Maker from the University of Illinois may offer one way for small farmers to tap into that retail giant. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Did you miss the agricultural analysis? Well, maybe. If you did, you can do one of two things. Visit our website, listen to it there at willag.org, or just open up the telephone and dial this number, 217-333-3434. We put ag analysis there at 10:15 and 3:15 each and every day. Time to take a look at the cash grain market on a Friday afternoon. On hand with us today is Bruce Bostard. He's with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. They operate 10 East Central and Central Illinois elevators. Good afternoon to you, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
You're cold there in Ludlow today, I bet.
It is cold here. I felt really bad about not being out helping the guys load a train today this morning. So.
I bet you did. Well, that's what happens when you're the boss. You get to stay inside and say, dudes, I bet they were frozen. Did you buy them cups of coffee?
There was cups of coffee, and we have a warming location set up so people can go back in and get feeling in their fingers again.
Yeah, that's a tough job. Are you moving a lot of grain? Apparently so.
Moving some, not a lot. We have this train and a couple more to go out yet this month. It's just kind of a steady process to keep things moving. Cash movement picked up a little bit this week. I don't know if, you know, that old hope, greed, fear chart that we've all seen. I think maybe we moved a little bit more onto the fear level this week.
You think so, or is it just a matter that it's late December and they have to even some things out?
Something has to move, and it was a case of selling a little bit before it went down further.
Are they willing to sell corn or beans or both?
Primarily corn today, although it's been kind of a mixed bag. Basis-wise, you know, the basis on beans keeps running up a little bit better than corn and looks like it's trying to generate some bean movement, but haven't seen much of it.
Yeah, if you're going to keep something, farmers tend to like to keep beans for more fun than they do corn, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Yeah, tell me about basis at this point and what your bids are.
Basis has improved a little bit. The processor numbers look like they have stalled off. A couple of them have even taken a little step back. SIF numbers were up a little bit, and we've seen that too. We're below $3 on corn, $2.79 tonight, and $7.68 on beans. It's been a while.
One quick note at the end of this, have you checked freight rates over on the Mississippi? What's it costing?
Boy, I haven't for a few days. It had been trending down with the lack of movement.
Okay, thanks much, Bruce.
Thank you.
Bruce Bostard is with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. In 2 minutes, we'll talk with Steve Hilberg at the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. I'm Todd Gleason.
It's National Tort Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1855, Clinton Hart Merriam was born. A biologist, he studied the effects of using birds to control agricultural pests. He also helped found the National Geographical Society, and he was the first chief of what is today the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. In 1864, Lewis Jones died, a U.S. agricultural biologist. His studies made possible a much greater control of potato diseases and increased yield. He also carried out fundamental studies on bacterial soft rot in carrots and other vegetables. In 1876, D.C. Stilson patented the first practical pipe wrench. In 1869, he had whittled a model out of wood, which he showed to his boss at the Walworth Company. Stilson was instructed to test one built out of steel. The test convinced the company owner that the concept was sound. In 1937, Ernest Brundin and Frank Lyon set up the first commercial-scale hydroponic plant culture system. A patent was issued to them on December 1st of 1936 for, quote, a system of water culture. And in 2006, New York became the first U.S. city to ban artificial trans fats in restaurant food. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Friday afternoon. On the line with us to take a look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural weather in the Midwest is Steve Hilberg. Good afternoon to you, Steve.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, Steve is the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, so tell me about the weather here in the Midwest.
Well, if you like winter, you'll like the weather. It's been obviously a very cold week. We've been running about an average of 8 to 10 degrees below normal across the state for the first week of December, and we've had some snow. And it looks like this winter-like weather is probably going to continue on for the foreseeable future.
I was checking in on Ed's forecast, our chief meteorologist here at the radio station, and he suggests that there's possible significant weather problems next week on Monday and Tuesday, but there's not enough data yet to figure out just exactly what that means. What do you see?
Yeah, I would agree. It looks like next week's going to be a very active week with possibly a weather system affecting much of Illinois Monday and Tuesday, and then possibly again later in the week. Part of the reason it's sort of up in the air is just how the storm systems track this time of year. And I'm sure you've heard Ed say, the matter of 50 miles on a storm track can make all the difference in the world as to what type of weather you get. But pretty sure that someplace in Illinois is going to have to deal with some pretty inclement weather during the first part of next week. Looks like another couple shots of cold air coming in behind it, and then perhaps another major weather system next weekend. But that's pretty far out right now, and things can change. But I think the bottom line is a cold and a fairly active weather pattern.
Yeah, if you could come back a little closer to home then and detail what the weekend looks like.
Well, it looks like some possible light snow or flurries tonight, and generally cold. Temperatures are going to stay well below normal through the weekend. There could be a little bit of a warm-up late in the weekend as this next system approaches, but as we've been saying the last week or two, any kind of warm-up like this is going to be fairly brief. It's going to be at most a day, day and a half, and then the next weather system comes through. So it looks like the weekend overall is going to be in pretty good shape, but early next week is what we have to really be watching out for at this point.
Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
No, it's just a little early winter, and let's just get through it.
All right. Thanks much, Steve.
All right, Todd.
Steve Hilberg is the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. If you'd like to hear what Steve had to say or any of our agricultural weather segments, you can do that any day of the week on our website, again, at willag.org. That's willag.org. It's quick and easy to get to. And you can find our daily ag analysis there, the cash grain, the weather segments, and the future segments, all at willag.org. You'll also find Commodity Week there. That's our weekend program. Commodity Week, our weekend look at what's been happening in the world of agriculture at willag.org. Don't forget to subscribe to our weekend newsletter. That one's free, too, and it's right there on the website. It's all at willag.org. If you missed the analysis segments and you don't have access to a website or a web browser or the Internet at the moment, don't worry about that. You can always go and pick it up right there on your telephone. Just dial this number, 217-333-3434. We call it MAP, stands for Mobile Analyst Portal. And we take the first part of our future segments at around 10:15 and 3:15 in the afternoon each business day of the week and post them to the telephone site. So 217-333-3434. Be sure to tune in for Commodity Week if you get the opportunity. And if not, you have a good weekend, and I'll talk to you again on Monday.